Rogers and Delling Insurance Agency presents the Finger Lakes Salute with Bill Sheehan and Al Darrow, the voice of Beverly Rogers, Glenn Rogers and his Forgotten Story, and starring the East Bloomfield Central School Varsity Choir under the direction of Mrs. Dorothy Vandemer. Today, Rogers and Elling salute the twin villages of East Bloomfield and Holcomb, and our program opens with the East Bloomfield Central School Varsity Choir singing Your Land and My Land, accompanied at the piano by Mrs. Daniel Bish. Weeks on these programs, Rogers and Elling has shown the importance of protecting yourself against loss of income from sickness or accident with a contract in the North American Accident Insurance Company. Today, we should like to point out that Rogers and Elling is a complete insurance agency, qualified by experience and affiliation to take care of your every insurance need. Rogers and Elling writes all kinds of general insurance, is equipped to give you every coverage, every service. As example, automobile liability and collision, public liability, fire and extended coverage, compensations and bonds of all kinds, burglary, robbery, theft, and plate glass. Whatever kind of insurance you require, Rogers and Elling sells it. Rogers and Elling is also pleased to announce the recent affiliation of Ben Whiteman, who is now manager of the Fire and Casualty Department. If you have a need for any kind of insurance, see Rogers and Elling, 68 Castle Street in Geneva. And now it's time for our well-known comedy team, Bill Sheehan and Al Darrow. As we look in on the boys today, we find Willie comfortably ensconced in his overstuffed office chair, perusing several suspicious-looking charts. Here they are.
Let me see now. That horse in the fifth looks good. What's his name? Oh, Barbazich. Let me get my magnifying glass to read this fine print here. Uh-oh. Barbazich has done been scratched already. Come in. Oh, it's you, Albert. Well, I'm certainly glad to see you is on time. What time is it, anyway?
12:00 noon. Don't you remember? I works from 12 to 1 and has an hour off for lunch. But, Willie, you ain't at it again, is you?
Ain't it what again?
That don't be by any chance a racing form you has got there, is it?
Well, not exactly, Albert. This am the bookie of the month club, you know.
Oh, the bookie of the month, huh?
But tell me something, Albert. What did you think of this horse here? Suspenders.
Suspenders? Well, to tell the truth, Willie, I don't think that he would hold up in the stretch.
You don't?
Hmm.
How's that?
Never mind.
Hmm.
Take a look at this mail I done brought in here.
Yeah, certainly lots of it, there ain't
it?
Look through the stuff to Albert and see if there's one there that's got some smelly perfume about it.
No, ain't none here.
Shucks. Well, open some up there anyway, Alvin.
Okay, here's the first one.
Well, read it to me, you know. How's the president, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it say here, in big capital letters, do you want to be a success in business?
Wait a minute, Albert, wait a minute. I don't think they done sent that to the wrong man. File's that under W there.
Under W?
Yeah, waste paper basket.
Oh,
here's
I see.
The next one.
Well, here's a bill. This is a bill.
Yeah.
This next one is a bill.
Yeah, well, file's them right behind the first one there.
Willie, here I'm reporting looking letter here.
Well, there ain't no figures on it, is there? You got to be careful the way they camouflage them bills nowadays, you know.
Oh, no, no. This has got a nice big K on the top of the envelope here.
K rations, huh?
Yeah.
It has? Well, let me see that thing there, anyway. Yeah, them pair of giraffes are certainly spaced out there nice and even, ain't
they? Oh, yeah.
Certainly must be reporting.
Now,
let me see there. Where'd I lay them picture glasses here, then?
Okay, give it back here to me. I'll read it for you.
Yeah, you do that.
Willis Albert Motor Company, Incorporated, Geneva, New York. Gentlemen.
Albert, is you sure that is the correct address? All my friends calls me Bill, you know.
Yeah, evidently they don't know us too well. But to continue, the Kiwanis Club of Geneva.
Oh, a letter from the insurance underwriter.
Yeah. Cordially invite you and your company.
Yeah, that means you too, Albert.
Oh, thank you. To participate in the automobile show to be held March the 31st, and April the 1st. At the State Armory, Geneva, New York.
That's April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's fine. Is there going to be any other cars in the show, Alvin?
Well, let me continuize here. To wit, we plans to have all the leading automobiles of the day on exhibition.
All 32 million automobiles?
Oh, no, no, Willie. Just models of the latest design.
Oh, that's better.
But
is that all?
Oh, no, there's more here. It reads, and I quote, there will be a slight fee for floor space.
I know there was a catch to it, Albert. I know that. But what am the fee?
Well, Willie, they done made a type of geographical error here, I think. Didn't write nothing in here.
In that case, I think we can afford it, Albert.
Yeah,
it
makes
a typographical error, you know.
But
to be on the safe side, fills it in there a little bit, will you?
Well, what would you like me to put in there, Willie?
Well, it sticks in a couple of zeros and decimation points. Makes it look repressive.
Yeah, okay, there, it does it.
Now that we has jumped that hurdle, reads on.
Well, it say, we sincerely hopes that you will enter your vehicle for this show.
Vehicle?
Man,
they don't even want us to Willis Arbor now, does it?
Oh, well, Willie, you see, a vehicle and an automobile is anonymous with each other.
Well, I'm certainly glad he is on his big end.
Yeah.
But who signed that unintelligent letter anyway?
Arthur J. Cowan, chairman. But wait a minute. There's a P.S. on here, which has done been appended.
You mean there's more?
Well,
don't tell me they forgot something. There.
Yeah, they say, the P.S. say, don't forget, this am an automobile show, but you is invited anyway.
Oh, we is, huh?
Yeah, Willie. And the first thing we got to do is figure out our display.
Yeah. Well, let's get our heads together on this thing anyway. Ow! You don't have to get so close, Alvin. I was just using one of my figments of speech.
Well, your figments of speech. Well, you knows that you is the president, and I aims to please.
Your aim was sure good that time, man. Pulls down your sights a little more there, will you? But did that bump get any ideas out of that head of yours?
Not exactly. The fact about the matter is I had one, and you done knocked it out. You knows how it is when you runs your head up against a brick wall. Yeah,
such sarcastic remarks to say about the president. Is there any more report mail, Albert?
Let me see. Well, here's another bill. Another bill. And another one.
They certainly is persistent, ain't it?
It is that.
Well, files them under the U.
Under the U? Don't they go under the W, too?
Oh, no, Albert. The W's getting full, eh?
Yeah, see that.
Puts them into useless files.
Useless, yeah.
If that's all the mails we got, Albert, I goes back and coagulates on my book of the month plan here.
Willie.
What you want now, Albert? You know, I just had a win in my hand. Under the wire, in fact. Don't you know you just done cost me money, boy?
Well, I don't like to derail your train of thought, Willie, but this may cost you money, too.
How's that?
Well, this is from the Internal Revenue Department. Where did you file that one?
Well, how about I write on that one, address unknown, and sends it back to him, you know? I mean, the Internal Revenue Department.
Yeah.
I don't fools with that.
Yeah, but on second thought, Willie, don't you think we better just take a little peek inside there?
You mean just look in the underneath,
yeah,
unflap the flap there?
Yeah, unflap the flap.
I don't think so, Alvin. My second thought is just the same as the first one. Sends it back. Mm-hmm. Gets rid of it. Mm-hmm.
Willie, I hold it up against the light here. You know, it looks like a check in there.
I told you to open it, Alvin. Why don't you do like I tells you then?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got it open there?
Yeah. Why, Willie, it's a United States government check.
It is? Mm-hmm. For what?
It's a income tax refund.
Boy, they certainly is fast, ain't
they? Yeah, they sure is.
How much is it made out there for, anyway?
Well, according to the detached statement, item one, income for the year, zero.
How much is it?
Item two, cost of mailing return, 3 cents.
Mm.
Item three, net return, 3 cents.
Mm-mm.
And then down below here it say, we knows you is lying, but this is the best we've seen in years.
You mean they doubt our integrity?
Yeah, it looks like it. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we have done increased our assets.
Yeah, we've done that.
On second thought, Albert, tell you what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You cashes the check and applies it on the back wages I owe you.
Oh, thank you, Willie. You is so generous.
Mm-hmm.
And are you sure that you won't need it?
Well, if you's going to argue about it, give it back to me. I'll take it any time.
I know that. I know you. Yeah, I know you would.
But, Albert, I see you has got one more letter there.
Mm-hmm.
Open that one up and tells you where. I'll tell you right where they're going to file out.
All right. Well, Willie, here's another one from that Kiwanis Club.
Well, reads it, Albert. Maybe they wants me to make a speech or be honorary chairman or something.
Yeah, probably. Well, this one is short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And see if you can speech yourself out of this one.
Yeah, well, what's it say?
It say, in our previous letter, we forgot to fill in the space for the entry fee for the auto show.
Mm.
For your information, the cost is
$1,000. $1,000?
Mm.
Man, let me see that thing anyway.
There it is. Read it and weep. Looks like we is out.
Wait a minute, Alvin. Give me that ink eradicator there, will you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just knocks out one of them there, that one there,
mm-hmm.
and we's back in the zeros and the decimation points.
That's
right?
A good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Willie, we is in.
Man, you set a mouthful.
Thank you, Bill Sheehan and Al Darrow. Our salute to East Bloomfield and Holcomb continues as the East Bloomfield Central School Varsity Choir sings Beautiful Savior. Beverly Rogers singing an old favorite, All the Things You Are. She's accompanied at the piano by Mrs. Irene Barkrin.
You are a promise keeper.
The Forgotten Story, and here's Glenn Rogers to tell us the story of Romance of an Apple.
It was a famous apple that caused the downfall of Adam and Eve back in the dawn of creation. And it is another famous apple that forms the background for today's forgotten story. This particular apple began its career only a few short years after the white man began the settlement of this territory. And thus the Finger Lakes adds another to its long list of claims of distinction. For the famed and popular Northern Spy apple originated a mile north of East Bloomfield and Holcomb over 150 years ago, around the turn of the 19th century. Although there are two stories relating to the original planting of this fruit tree, both bear witness to the fact that the Northern Spy was born in the Finger Lakes. And where the stories may digress a bit at the beginning, they ultimately coincide and reach the same conclusion. But listen to the stories and judge for yourselves. One story tells us that Oliver Chapin of Salisbury, Connecticut, who was one of the early pioneers in East Bloomfield Township in its 1789, returned to Connecticut to bring his brother, Dr. Daniel Chapin, back to New York the following year. Dr. Chapin, who was the township's first physician, brought with him a variety of apple seedlings, which he planted on his brother's farm, which is located a mile north of Holcomb in East Bloomfield on the present Boughton Hill Road. And A.J. Downey, in his book, Fruits and Fruit Trees of America, published in 1846, tells us that the apple was named when Chapin remarked that he had spied a tree that had just begun to bear fruit in the northern part of his orchard, and that the fruit was different than any he had tasted. But the story that seems to be more generally accepted is that it was Heman Chapin who planted the orchard with seedling trees from seeds brought from Salisbury, Connecticut, about 1795, and that one of the trees was the original Northern Spy. Be that as it may, both stories agree that sprouts from the original tree, which died before bearing, were taken up and planted by Roswell Humphrey, and by him the first of the luscious Northern Spy apples were raised. In 1847, nine of the trees set out by Humphrey were still living, and it is said that the grandson of the original Northern Spy tree is still standing beside a marker which shows the location of the first on the Chapin farm. The variety was confined to the vicinity for many years, and it was not until 1840 that it began to attract the attention of fruit growers in other localities. Its great value came to be more widely recognized, and in 1852, the American Pomological Society not only listed it as a new variety of great promise, but also as a variety worthy of general cultivation. Now grown extensively through the northeastern states, as well as New York, the Northern Spy ranks third in importance among New York apples, being topped only by the Baldwin and Rhode Island Greening. Also in that first orchard of seedlings were developed the early Joe and Melon apples, but they never attained the prominence of their famous brother and are not usually sold by nursery firms. And so that is the story of an apple, the Northern Spy apple, which was born with Finger Lake Settlement and which has grown with the region. There seems to be no limit to what can happen in the Finger Lakes region, for the Finger Lakes will always give you what you want, whether it be statesmen, invention, religion, or yes, even an apple.
Glenn Rogers in this week's Forgotten Story. Have you secured your copy of Inspiration, a book of poems written by Glenn Rogers? If you haven't, why not do so tomorrow? There is no cost, no obligation on your part. Merely go to the Geneva store of Sears Roebuck and Company, 479 Exchange Street, and ask any of the clerks for your free copy. And if you live outside of Geneva, all you have to do is drop a penny postcard to Sears Roebuck, 479 Exchange Street, Geneva, and they'll see that you get a copy of Inspiration. Plan on getting your copy right away, for there'll be no more available after the present edition is exhausted. The East Bloomfield Central School Varsity Choir returns now, and we hear O Lovely Night. Rogers and Elling is a complete insurance agency handling all lines of general insurance. As one of several special services to Rogers and Elling clients, they have associated with them Johnny Morgan, a man who is known as one of the leading consultants in the life insurance field. Mr. Morgan points out that if you own your own home, chances are there's a mortgage on it. A mortgage you will have to pay if you live, a mortgage that must be paid in any event if your family is to enjoy the security of its own home. Very often, this is overlooked in a life insurance program. If you haven't considered it, It'll pay you to get in touch with Rogers and Elling. They'll tell you how a mortgage retirement policy in the Columbia National Life Insurance Company will guarantee to pay off your loan in the event of death, thus leaving a mortgage-free home for your family. Johnny Morgan will be glad to give you full details without obligation. Just get in touch with Rogers and Elling, 68 Castle Street in Geneva. The Varsity Choir concludes our program singing the alma mater of the East Bloomfield Central School. Bring our program to a close. You've been listening to another Finger Lakes Salute with Bill Sheehan and Al Darrow, the voice of Beverly Rogers, Glenn Rogers, and his forgotten story, and the East Bloomfield Central School Varsity Choir, directed by Mrs. Dorothy Vandemer. Next week, we salute the city of Geneva. So join us again next Sunday afternoon for another Finger Lakes Salute.